I love Tuesdays. It's always so much fun to welcome two great booksellers. They come in, they tell us incredible books that we should pay attention to, things that are new, maybe things that were not on our radar, but should be. This morning we welcome, again, two wonderful, wonderful independent booksellers to the program. Jackie Callahan is here from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great. It's wonderful to be here with both of you.
It's really nice to have you here. Thank you so much. And Susanna Hermans joins us as well from Oblong Books in Millerton and Rhinebeck. And they have a big stack of books both in front of them. So a lot to talk about. Good morning, Susanna. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. So excited to be here with my buddy Jackie.
I know.
Yeah, it's great.
Ever since I started bookselling, Susanna was one of the, and her dad, one of the first people I reached out to. And so I'm always thinking about our sister across the river.
Really great people and certainly great booksellers. And it's wonderful to have you all here today. All right, Jackie, where would you like to begin?
Well, you know, when we were in the little green room preparing, we were talking about like what our natural tendencies are towards books, and mine is nonfiction. And I have nonfiction to start with and nonfiction kind of to end with. But my first book today is a book by an author that's going to be featured in the Woodstock Book Fest, which is this weekend. And Jessica Valenti has this book that came out in December. The book is called Abortion, Our Bodies, Their Lies, and the Truths We Use to Win. And this book is a little bit memoir, a little bit political manifesto, but it's wholly responsive or a response to the post-vote, the post-Roe v. Wade reality here in the U.S. And it's framed around a core truth, which is that abortion is healthcare, and the right to bodily autonomy is foundational to human dignity and health. And each chapter of the book sort of deconstructs cultural, political, and religious narratives that have been weaponized to control reproductive lives, particularly for women and girls. And it's sharp, it's personal, and it's really unapologetically angry. And just I'm just going to highlight sort of her like four key themes, which is that, you know, the lie that abortion is shameful or selfish, it is not. She reminds us that needing or choosing an abortion is not a failure, but often a path to survival, dignity, or future well-being. She talks about very much the historical and systemic control over female bodies and echoes themes very familiar in public health. She talks about the kind of the dangers of framing abortion in kind of moderate terms as safe, legal, and rare. That really undermines and stigmatizes abortion. And then finally, she really talks about the need for clarity and defiance in this moment, post-Roe moment, and the need for advocacy. So honestly, if you want to hear a lot more about this topic and about the amazing work that Jessica does, come to the Woodstock Book Festival this Saturday.
Jessica Valenti is the author of Abortion, Our Bodies, Their Lies, and the Truths We Use to Win. Saturday, April 5th, part of the Woodstock Book Festival. And we'll have Martha Frankel on Thursday to talk about the festival and give us a preview, too. So that'll be coming up as well. What have you got, Suzanne?
Amazing. Sorry, I'm still on Jackie's book, and I think that sounds amazing. I've been a fan of Jessica's for her work on the internet for a long time.
I know. She's
and
awesome, right?
That sounds really cool. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. So like Jackie said, she's the nonfiction girl. I'm the fiction girl. I brought a pile of mostly fiction, the first of which is a novel that came out last week from Eliza Kennedy, one of our local Hudson Valley authors. Her new novel is called Lucky Night. And I took this on vacation with me last week, and I started it. And by about 100 pages in, I was whipping through these pages so fast. I stayed up until 1 a.m. to finish it. And then when I finished it, I literally screamed out loud, which I do not do, you guys. The premise of this book is it's about a couple who are having an affair together. They've been having an affair for 6 years. They meet once a month. But they've never actually spent the whole night together, and they've decided they're going to stay over. They got a very, very fancy hotel room in like a brand new Manhattan skyscraper hotel, and they're going to have their night together. And they have a lot of baggage in their own lives and in their lives together. And they each have sort of feelings about the relationship and whether it should continue or end. It's a big night emotionally. But then the fire alarm starts to go off. And I won't tell you what happens, but the threat or lack thereof of what might be happening in the building just sets this clock a ticking. And anyone who can handle unlikable characters and loves a fast-paced book, this is for you. It is a treat.
Well, if nothing else, this moment in time, I think, has gotten us to tolerate unfortunate characters. So here we go. Unlikable, unfortunate. Yes. Lucky Knight is the name of the book, Eliza Kennedy, and a local author. So that's very cool as well. Wonderful. Next.
The next book I wanted to talk about is by John Green. Many of you know John Green very well for his amazing, heartbreaking, and joyful YA novels like The Fault in Our Stars. He has also kind of like a parallel career with his brother as a YouTube vlogger. Well, they call themselves the Vlog Brothers, actually. And they have, you know, they demystify certain things in a series they call Crash Course. And so lately, John Green has gotten interested in many other issues aside from fiction to write about. And so his latest book is called Everything is Tuberculosis. And this is a book that intertwines the narrative of a patient in Sierra Leone who he meets named Henry with the broader context of how tuberculosis, what it is, how long it's been around, and its great sort of prevalence and burden of disease today, you know, where there's more than 1.2 million deaths a year as from tuberculosis. He kind of underscores the paradox that it is eminently preventable and curable, but like I said, it still remains the leading cause of death from infectious disease, and it surpasses even the toll of COVID, and, you know, it surpasses malaria and other diseases combined. So this book is such a wonderful book of narrative nonfiction. John Green writes in, and I find this is true in his fiction, such an accessible, warm, understanding style. And it makes this book a page-turner. It's very accessible, I would say, to adults as well as kids. You learn a ton about tuberculosis. You really empathize with all the characters, their people in this book who are living with this burden of disease, and just the kind of maddening fact that the drugs that can cure these diseases exist and are, you know, denied to many of the people who need them most. You know, I just have to say it's incredibly ironic that Everything is Tuberculosis right now is number one on the New York Times bestseller status right at the time that we're experiencing significant cuts in public health domestically and obviously with USAID, but also through other organizations that the U.S. government funds that does work in tuberculosis. And that is a tragedy, but I think to channel John Green, we are going to be hopeful. We are going to work through this. And my hope is that many of you will read Everything is Tuberculosis and get awareness about this disease and do the work, get involved.
Everything is Tuberculosis by John Green. Terrific. Next up.
Okay, so my next novel is Sister Snake by Amanda Lee Coe. This came out at the very end of last year, like right before Christmas, and I think it totally buried it in the craziness of the holidays. It did not get its due, and it was one of my favorite books I read last year. It is a contemporary novel about two sisters, Sue and Emerald. They have been estranged for quite some time. One is the wife of a conservative politician in Singapore. The other one is living a more hedonistic lifestyle in New York City. And what we learn about these women is that their secret, they have a shared secret, which is that they are 1,000-year-old Chinese snakes.
Wow. Okay. Ooh. That's a secret.
That's a secret.
Yep.
And something happens to one of them that requires them to reunite and take care of each other again and reconnect after decades and decades of being apart. It's a book about sisterhood. It's extremely sensual and funny. And I just, there's nothing like it. And I absolutely loved it. And I want everyone to go read it because not enough people bought it when it came out.
So we need to improve
help
that.
Help me, you guys. Help yes. me sell more of this book. It's so good.
Sister Snake is the name of the book by Amanda Lee Coe. All right. Jackie.
I'm just looking at the cover. It's very cool.
It's a great cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The next book I wanted to talk about is a book called Night Shining, A Memoir in Four Floods. And it is by Jennifer Cabot, who is a local author as well in our Catskill region. And she is also going to be in the Woodstock Book Festival this Sunday, I believe. And so Jennifer, this book is published by Milkweed Edition, and she's actually in the middle of writing a trilogy, which is exploring kind of the themes of like memoir and place and belonging and kind of like the interplay between personal and collective histories. And so her first book was called The Eighth Moon, and it only came out in July. And then she has this new book, Night Shining, which is just actually about to come out in May. And so in Night Shining, she's talking about like the conflict between kind of natural forces and human attempts to control them. She lives in Margaretville. And if any of our listeners remember, in 2011, Margaretville was really hurt just so hard by the superstorm Irene, or Hurricane Irene.
Yes.
And Jennifer's house, her community, was right in the middle of that. And so she starts investigating the environmental history of the region and also uncovering all these really cool stories about Cold War weather experiments involving Kurt Vonnegut's brother. Yeah, for real. And it's just really wonderful, best kind of personal narrative that's really taking to you to a lot of different places in an old Victorian house.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Again, the name of the book is Night Shining, A Memoir in Four Floods by Jennifer Cabot, correct? And that is out. Very cool. Next up.
Next up, I have a novel called Heartwood. It comes out today by Amity Gage. Mm-hmm. And this was another one I took on vacation last week and read in about a day. It is based, inspired by a true story, but it is about a woman who sets out to hike the Appalachian Trail and gets lost in Maine. It's about her, and it's about the female game warden whose job it is to start the search and find this woman. And then the third perspective we get is a woman who lives very, very far away. She's in a nursing home, but she's an armchair detective. And she is determined that she can help find this woman, even though that does seem rather impossible. The pace is wonderful. The characters are great. And the voice of the lost woman we are getting through her diary entries from the journal that they find. I loved it. And I think if you read God of the Woods and loved that
yes.
book, this is very, like, it will give you God of the Woods energy.
That's good.
Yeah, good.
That's very good. Amity Gage and Heartwood is the name of the book. All right, Jackie.
All right. Next book I wanted to talk about, I'm going to ask you both the question. Have you ever had a song in your head, like while you were gardening or exercising or something like that, and it repeats and repeats
all the time?
Right?
I can't. I'm this morning I was getting in the car and I can't stop singing the song from the 80s called Electric Blue.
Oh, I love that. You don't have to sing it.
I won't. There's no reason to, but I just can't get it out of my head. And I think we all have Ice House's catalog in our brains.
Well,
sometimes it is just itching to get out.
Exactly. So Ben Ratcliffe, who is formerly was a music writer for the New York Times, has this new book called Run the Song, Writing About Running, About Listening. And so Ben Ratliff's he's talking about like the connection between running and personal reflection in this book. And he is talking about how just sort of like he, as he runs, you know, he's running to certain songs, different genres, lots of 70s soul, jazz, hardcore, punk, string quartets, Sade, Fred Astaire, all of it. And he talks about how running can kind of like deepen your relationship with music. For me, like when I'm swimming, like literally I just get like four bars in my head. It goes over and over and over again. So like I have a different music brain than Ben Ratliff, who can do a whole entire song. It's quite amazing. This book is a lot more personal than some of his other books. Like he wrote a wonderful book about Coltrane called Coltrane, The Story of the Sound. He also wrote another book called Every Song Ever. But this is just like a really beautiful meditative book about running and music. You could like read a chapter and then go running. Anyway, I'm really curious to hear how Ben talks about this book. He is going to be in the Woodstock Book Fest this weekend, so...
Very cool. Run the Song, Writing About Running, About Listening by Ben Ratliff. All right. Saturday, April 5th at the Woodstock Book Festival. Susanna.
Okay. So next up I have what's probably one of the most memorable mysteries I've read in the last few years. It's called Havoc by Christopher Bolan. Yes, Joe?
The reason I'm laughing is because you said it's the most memorable novel, and I'm like, did I read that? Going through, like, did I read? I think I read that. I don't remember if I read that.
All right,
not.
Let's find out.
Okay.
So this is about a woman who's 81 years old, and she goes to stay at a hotel in Luxor on the Nile. It's contemporary. It's set now.
Yes. I did not read this.
Okay, good.
Okay, that makes
you
me
should.
Feel
well,
better.
Well, Joe, you should.
Okay.
She's staying at this hotel on the Nile. She has a questionable past. We don't really know what her story is, but we find out over the course of the novel. But she has secrets. She has a dark history. And this woman and her 8-year-old son show up to stay at the hotel. And she sees this 8-year-old boy, and he becomes her nemesis. This is a novel about sociopaths. And... sorry, I'm just looking at the cover here. It says Thelma meets the Bad Seed meets the White Lotus. And it's like, that's exactly what this book is. I could not believe this character, this main character who is our narrator. She's so unreliable. She's such a psycho. And you will not believe what she does and what happens. You know, don't let the little old lady premise fool you. This book is not for the faint of heart.
Ooh.
All right. Havoc by Christopher Bolan.
All right, the next book I have is a book called Make Good Trouble, Discover Movements That Spark Change. It's by Jemiah Wilson. The publisher is DK. I would say it's a little bit, it's like a middle grade YA book that talks about what it says in the title. It is a kind of snapshot history of all different kinds of strikes all over the world that have happened, you know, over the past 200 years or so. So, for instance, there was a strike called the Shirtwaist Strike. And in some ways, it lasted over a decade or so.
Yeah.
But there were tremendously bad working conditions in factories and in fact, my grandmother quit the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory 2 weeks before the fire.
Mm.
But it's because of actions like this that caused change and led to the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. So this is a wonderful book to get history on so many things and also find inspiration as you think about what your role is in what's happening today.
Make Good Trouble, Discover Movements That Sparked Change. And that sounds great.
Yeah,
really good
by
stuff.
Jemiah Wilson. She's going to be in the book fest too this weekend.
Wonderful. Good stuff. All right.
So I did bring one nonfiction with me.
All right.
I can read nonfiction, you guys. This is Care and Feeding.
We know that.
Yeah.
This is a new memoir by Lori Wolliver. I love memoir when I read it and remember how much I love it. I like, why don't I read memoir all the time? I especially do love a good food memoir. Mm. And Lori has written a beautiful story here about her life in food. Most notably, she worked as the personal assistant to Mario Batali and Anthony Bourdain, and was working for him at the time of his death. They are huge characters in this book, but it's really about Lori's story and her struggles with addiction and figuring out the purpose of her life in these really high stress environments with these very, very powerful men. I her voice is great. And I would also say this is probably would be wonderful on audio.
Mm. Oh, good stuff.
I want to read that book.
That's a great idea. Care and Feeding by Lori Wolliver. All right.
So the next book I want to talk to is definitely my favorite art book, probably of the year. It's just exquisite. It's published by the New York Review of Books. It is called From Ted to Tom, The Illustrated Envelopes of Edward Gorey. And so the context of this book is that Edward Gorey, known as Ted to his friends, had a deep friendship with a guy named Tom Fitzharris in the early 1970s. And Tom Fitzharris actually also worked in kind of the publishing arena. And so Edward Gorey notably, well, I don't know how many people know about Edward Gorey, but he's an incredible illustrator. He is dead. And if you've ever seen the kind of opening scene for Masterpiece Mystery, you've seen Edward Gorey's work. They're black and white, usually sketches of sort of elongated, somewhat Victorian figures with their hands on their brows, sometimes emitting sighs. His work can be a little constructed sometimes as twee. It is not. It's super deep. He's really amazing. So that's who Edward Gorey is. Anyway, so he had this great friendship with Tom Fitzharris. And when they were apart for over a period of 2 years, Edward Gorey wrote letters to Tom Fitzharris. And he illustrated the envelopes. And so this book is the back and the front of each of the envelopes. And it's each envelope is so unique and so different. Tom Fitzharris saved them and then kind of presented them to the New York Review of Books saying, do you want to publish this book? And after each envelope and the back of the envelope, there's also little like excerpts from the letters and stuff. And it is just a gorgeous, exquisite book, a complete must for any Edward Gorey fan. From Ted to Tom. Please go find it.
It's really great stuff. I just got a thing in the mail that the and if you've never been to the Edward Gorey House in Yarmouth, Massachusetts,
I'm dying to go. I'm obsessed.
It's so cool. It's closed during the winter and it opens up next weekend. It's really fantastic. Great stuff.
I have one more
book,
and you know I had to bring a kid's book because I love my kids' books.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is Speechless by Erin Nels Steinke. It's a graphic novel for ages, I would say like 8 to 14. This is about Mira, who's in middle school, and she can't talk in school. She absolutely cannot say a word when she is in school. But when she's at home talking to her family, she's totally fine. And we come to discover over the course of the book that she has selective mutism and has to work through that through the help of her therapist and her teachers and her family. But it's also just a great story about being a kid and growing up and just being shy and not being able to express yourself, friendship, all the stuff that comes with it. The illustrations are great. Any kid who likes Raina Telgemeier will love Speechless.
Speechless is the name of the book, and you have both had fantastic lists. So the Woodstock Book Festival coming up this weekend, your big event,
right?
And, as I said, Martha Frankel, who runs the Book Fest, will be with us on Thursday. We'll learn even more about it, but you can find out more and go to goldennotebook.com. Oblongbooks.com to find out what's happening over there and what other cool stuff do you have besides what's happening on Saturday?
We have to mention what's happening on Saturday.
Yes.
Our very own Joe Donahue here was going to be in conversation with Chris Hayes at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie Saturday night. Come on out. Tickets are still available. It's going to be amazing.
It is going to be amazing. I am so looking forward to it, and I'm glad people still have the opportunity to see it. Fantastic, good stuff, and you can find out more oblongbooks.com. You can also go to our website where we have all of the book lists printed, published, posted is what the word I ultimately was looking for.
A keyword.
That's correct. WAMC.org/roundtable. You both are wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Dave.
Well,
you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.